Welcome to today's Main Ingredient, a program designed to help you bring local farm fresh food to your table. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. Today, I'm speaking with farmer Brian Fox of Salem Mountain Farm, located near Waymart, and chef Marcia Dunsmore of the Myrtle Avenue Bakehouse in Holly. Both of my guests sell their products at local farm markets. Today's main ingredient is garlic. So we're going to start with our farmer, Brian Fox, who's been with us a couple times here on today's main ingredient. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And today you're going to talk about garlic. And my understanding is you grow a whole lot of it.
We certainly do. We grow about 35,000 plants. That equates to about, in a good year, right around 5,000 pounds of garlic that is edible. However, most of the garlic that we grow to sell to other farmers as seed garlic.
Do you grow the garlic that we eat differently than the garlic that you grow for seed?
Nope, they're identical. And when we talk about a garlic seed, what we're talking about is a garlic clove. By planting one garlic clove, the following year, you get one garlic head, which can have anywhere from 4 to 20 pieces inside of it.
Every clove you buy at the farmer's market, you could use to seed garlic?
Yep.
But not the stuff you buy in the store, I understand.
Most of the time, the garlic that we find in the store has been sprayed with an anti-sprouting agent so that it doesn't begin to grow in your pantry. Or it is garlic that's grown in the West Coast, which you can grow it here. However, it's not necessarily the garlic that grows best here. In the northeastern part of the United States, we mostly grow what are called hardneck garlics. Softneck garlic looks more like an iris when it's growing. And then we have hardneck garlic, which it's similar. However, the thing about hardneck garlic is it has a stiff neck. And right about this time of the year, right around or just after the solstice, the garlic plant will put up what's called a scape. And that is essentially a false flower.
And the scapes are edible too, I understand.
They are. It's a delicacy that's only available for about 3 weeks out of the year. Basically, you just walk along and right at the top of the plant, you just break the scape off, trying not to damage the leaves of the top part of the garlic. After a few hours of picking those, everything that you own will smell like garlic. It has a wonderful garlic flavor and also has a little bit of a vegetable or earthiness to it as well. Every part of the scape is edible. However, the very cap part, as we call it, is a little bit fiber. So we tend to break the cap part off and we eat just the kind of, it looks like a giant green bean.
Now, I understand when you're growing garlic to eat, you want to cut those scapes off. Can you explain to us why?
What we want to do is we want to encourage the bulb under the ground that we think of as garlic to be as large as possible. And by breaking the scape off, you're discouraging the plant from putting any energy into it.
So let's talk a little bit about the cultivation of garlic. Is it an intensive process when you're growing it?
It can be. Well, there's several things with growing garlic. It's an allium, so it doesn't have a whole lot of leaf matter. So it doesn't compete with weeds very well. And it has a pretty shallow root system. So when we fertilize our garlic with compost, we actually prepare our beds. And then we put down compost right on top of the bed, rototill that in, reshape the bed so that the compost is right under the bed for the garlic plants. We plant it all by hand, but we plant each individual clove about 6 inches apart in the row. The rows are about 8 to 10 inches apart, and we have 3 rows on a bed. And then once we're done planting, the thing that we do is we cover the entire field with a hay mulch. You can use straw. Some people use leaves. That does several things for you. One, it actually keeps the clove in the ground during the late fall, early winter, when you have these freeze and thaw cycles where the ground freezes at night, thaws during the day. And what happens is the ground is actually squeezing the clove and then releasing it. And what it'll do is it'll actually pop the clove right out of the ground. And then all of your garlic will be laying on top of the ground in the springtime. And then the other thing it does is once the ground is frozen underneath the mulch keeps the soil frozen. One of the things that garlic needs is it needs a cold winter for what's called vernalization, where the clove decides that it's going to be from one clove, it's going to make its separation into how many pieces are going to be in the next year's bulb of garlic. And then the other thing the mulch does for you is in the early spring and summer, it provides a pretty good level of weed control. Because as I said, garlic doesn't compete well with weeds.
Excellent. Now, I understand it takes a little time to get garlic established.
we're growing three types of garlic now. One of them we've been growing, this October will be the 20th year planting it. And that is one we call German White, which is a porcelain. That seems to be pretty rock solid throughout the Northeast. The other garlic that we're growing is a Rocambole. And that is another one that seems to be pretty rock solid. However, it really, really, really likes a very cold winter. Both our garlics are very spicy. The white is somewhat milder. The red is just tremendously fiery right when you pull out of the ground. And then we're also experimenting with a softneck, which this will be our second year growing it. It's an Italian red softneck, which we are very happy with the results so far.
How would you categorize that? Is it as spicy as the other garlic?
Well, we only tried one. It's a lot milder than the hardneck garlics that we have. So in ours, our Rocambole, our German red is the spiciest. The German white, milder. The Rugatusa, it's even milder than that. What I'm hoping is it's a really good garlic for using raw. Some of our red garlic, you have a difficult time eating a raw clove.
And that's actually a perfect transition to Marcia Dunsmore, our chef, who's joining us today to talk about what we do with garlic in the kitchen.
I just wanted to say, I bought a bunch of Brian's scapes when he had them on the big sale. I make a relish called Nipachi, which is a cross between kimchi and Pennsylvania pepper relish. And this year I used the scapes in it. So we'll see. I'm going to be canning it in, you usually wouldn't can kimchi, but I can this, so it's shelf stable. And it's not quite as spicy as kimchi is, but it has fermented a bit. So I'll be canning that this week. So I'm really curious to see how it's going to come out. Looks great. The color looks great in it, the green.
Lots more scapes available, 5 pounds for $5.
Well, I'll know by the end of the week that whether or not I'll be using it again.
So Nipachi between a traditional Pennsylvania pepper jelly, which I'm familiar with.
No, Pennsylvania pepper relish.
Pepper relish. My father's a big fan of pepper relishes.
Right. They're real well known in this area.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a cross with the kimchi, so it's got a little bit of the spice. Are you
a little bit of the spice, but it also has other things like daikon radish, also from Brian. Thank you. The garlic and different kinds of cabbages.
Okay, so you don't use bok choy then?
No, I don't use bok choy, but I do the Napa cabbage.
Okay,
awesome. The Napa and Savoy and just a regular cabbage. So it's a blend of all what happens to be around. It's not a product that one month it's going to be exactly like it is the next month. I'm trying to wait and see what everybody has. Like I've used garlic in it before, but this is the first time I've used the scapes. But I'm really liking the way it's looking. And actually, when I open the refrigerator, I'm liking the way it's smelling too.
That's the best part of garlic. First of all, let's talk about preparing it.
Right. Well, first of all, you really don't want to refrigerate it. It should be kept like with an onion, sort of in your dark pantry closet somewhere. It's a vegetable whose taste is very different from the raw state versus a cooked state. And so you get something that would be like an almost spicy, fresh, intense taste when it's raw to when it's cooked and cooked slowly, a nutty, sweet, soft taste. It has such a range of flavors that it's used in a lot of different things.
And so when we get that papery covering on it, how do we get that off?
I just cut off either end and then I'll take the wide end of a chef's knife and just smash it down on it. And the paper comes right off.
One of the funny ways that I didn't believe this worked, I saw this on a YouTube video. You take two stainless steel bowls of the same size, take a handful up to a dozen cloves and just drop them into the bowl, put the one bowl on top. So now you've made a sphere and shake it, get over your money. And when you open that thing up, most of the peels will be off there or they'll be falling off and you can easily just take them apart.
Can you talk about a couple of ways we can use them raw?
Of course, in a vinaigrette, they would be wonderful raw because then their flavor would go throughout the whole oil and vinegar and flavor everything. I make an appetizer that I absolutely love that uses raw garlic. And when I have to use a raw garlic, I will just take a microplane and grate it on that. I'm not a user of a garlic press. Squeezes out too much for me, so more of the juice stays if you just put it on a microplane. Do that on a piece of French bread with thin sliced celery. Well, actually butter and thin sliced celery, and then just a sprinkle of a soft blue cheese like a Camazola on the top, and a little vinaigrette. It's just the most fabulous little appetizer you can do. somewhere where it had a chance to sit and diffuse throughout whatever it was in.
Flavoring an oil, for example.
Yeah, I do a lot of garlic oil and I keep it in the fridge. I just throw the garlic cloves in the Cuisinart peeled processor and chop them relatively fine and then cook it very slowly. One part of garlic to three parts of oil in a pan until the garlic turns kind of a toasty brown. And then you drain it off and you're left with a whole pile of nice, sticky, toasty garlic that you can keep in a jar and then just pull out a tablespoon every once in a while you want to throw garlic into something. And you have the oil on the other hand.
Let's talk a little bit about how you would roast garlic.
One of the best ways that I have roasted garlic to have it just come out is to just simply take the bulb and cut off the root end, leaving it the paper and everything on it. Then just rub a little oil on, maybe just a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of seasoning, and roast it slowly in the oven until it becomes soft. And then the garlic becomes like a spread. Ooh. I've had it that way, and then a little like melted goat cheese on the side, soft goat cheese. And when you serve that garlic and squeeze a clove out, it's like spreading butter on your bread. And then I top it with a little bit of cheese. It's just absolutely heavenly.
Now, when you say roast it slow, so how would you do that? You put it in the oven at what temperature for how long?
Oh, I would say I would put it in at about 375. Okay. And I'm going to sound really cook-like on this, but, you know, I put it until it's done. You know, you can basically tell just by feeling when it's soft and you'll see it. Okay. Now, I've also roasted garlic, just the cloves, again, in its own oil. I'll roast garlic in garlic oil and until they turn a nice nutty brown. What you really, really, really want to avoid with garlic, though, is burning it.
Right.
Because it will immediately take on the worst bitter flavor you can imagine.
Joining me now is Carol Kinnear, who joins us just about every week to talk about the nutritional side of today's main ingredient, which is garlic. She is the community health manager, as well as a certified dietitian at Wayne Memorial Hospital and Wayne Memorial Health System. So we are talking about garlic. Most of us don't think of garlic, I don't think, as a vegetable, unless you grow it. I do know a lot of people who do grow garlic. We think of it more as a seasoning, but it does have some really important nutritional properties.
Exactly. And you know, the health benefits are really amazing with it. When you look at the health of our bodies, garlic is really important. It can help make our blood pressure better. It can help lower our cholesterol and in turn help reduce our risk for heart disease. Garlic has an anti-inflammatory benefit and it helps the blood flow more easily through our blood vessels and through our bodies. So when we eat garlic, it actually kind of thins our blood out, which makes it really flow easier through our bodies. And when that happens,
it takes some of the pressure off the whole system, really.
Exactly. And what better way to do it than naturally, you know? And garlic is also useful in helping lower our cholesterol level too. It has certain vitamins and minerals that help kind of break down that buildup of plaque in our system. So it's really, again, with the blood thinning and everything moving through, nothing gets sticky and the plaque doesn't build up. So that's really important for our bodies too. Really, when you control your blood pressure and you keep your cholesterol under control, you significantly reduce your risk for heart disease. And I think that's where the combination comes in when you look at the benefits of garlic with lowering or helping control blood pressure and lowering the cholesterol overall, then it trickles down in reducing your risk for heart disease. You know, eating garlic, yes, you want to incorporate it into your recipes, into your menus. Word of caution that if you're planning to take garlic supplements and you're also on any type of blood thinner, you want to talk to either your cardiologist or your primary care physician just to make sure that that is okay. Because the way garlic works, like we said, it's a blood thinner, a natural blood thinner. Yes, you do have to take it in large quantities and get that benefit. But again, you just want to check with your physician whenever you take a supplement in large amounts that it doesn't interact with any of your medications that you're taking.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. This program is produced by Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania to promote renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and sustainable living in today's world. Today's main ingredient is made possible in part by a grant from the Greater Pike Community Foundation, the Wayne Pike Farm Bureau, and the Overlook Estate Foundation, and is sponsored by Fertile Valley Farms and Wolf Spring Farms, two local farms working together. Call 410-961-0413.